The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Good morning, Jeffrey. We have a football trade to get to.
A very exciting football trade, Gil.
We have a Kevin Durant scenario that I think needs to be brought up as well. Not the one most people are thinking of. We'll be joined by Will Hill in a bit to talk baseball, football, and basketball with him. We'll talk to Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted with the Crack Man. A little later on, Will, Bill, and Gil today on the show. See if you can book a fill and a Jill while you're at it. All right, so real quick, by the way, tennis play. I do have one tennis play coming up after this semi is complete with Anjabur up a break in the third and final set here against Tatjana Maria. I have the play that I have today is Simona Halep in straight sets over Elena Rybakina. Got it at minus 118. I'm looking for Halep to win that 2-0. That is in the second women's semi at Wimbledon. Okay, the trade yesterday in the NFL, hardly surprising, right? A trade that we knew was ripe to happen. Good on the Panthers for sort of waiting it out and getting it on their terms. But Baker Mayfield, the very offended Baker Mayfield from all the Cleveland Browns flirtation and finally signing of Deshaun Watson, well, Baker Mayfield is on his way to Carolina. For him, he hopes greener pastures where he hopes to start. He goes to the Panthers, the deal, by the way, the details of the deal, off to the Panthers for a 2024 conditional fifth-round pick, which could become a fourth-rounder depending on Mayfield's playing time. And the real sort of other details that are of note of this is the salary distribution. Mayfield set to make $18.8 million. Well, the terms of that now are that the Browns are on the hook for $10.5 million of those. $18.8. $10.5 now will be paid by the Browns, according to Adam Schefter. And the Panthers will be on the hook for $4.85 million of that. So you're like, wait a minute, that math doesn't work out. Pardon me. Doesn't get to $18.8 million. Sometimes you just got to blurt it out like that, Jeff, to get back to the real voice. Baker Mayfield took a pay cut. Baker Mayfield agreed to take a pay cut. By the way, it is able to be made up in incentives, but a little bit of an ego hit. I guess that's the first thing. Baker Mayfield is a winner. When you do the winners and losers, obviously he's a winner because he gets to be now, gets a shot at being a starter. Most people believe he will be the opening day starter for the Carolina Panthers. There are those, by the way, I'll say like Rob Ninkovich being one of them, the one that I saw the latest, who are not 100% convinced that Baker Mayfield will be the opening day starter. And the reason for that is, typically when teams are locked into a starter, they either are paying an exorbitant salary or they gave up tremendous draft capital to move up in a draft, or they gave up tremendous trade capital in a trade. This didn't happen. They got Baker Mayfield for a song by any measure. And so it is not 100%, but one would think that Baker will be the starter. So those are the terms, and then what did it do to the betting market is the real question on all this. Well, I think the betting market let out a giant meh to all of this, I believe is the technical term for this. Did you go with meh, Jeff? Is that a good term?
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty accurate for this.
Panthers winning the NFC South at DraftKings went from 12-1 all the way to 10-1. Comeback player of the year is more than a little negligible, 16-1 to 12-1. And we did have a move, again, this is, a lot of people got ahead of this. Will Hill, who'll join us on the show momentarily. A lot of people did get ahead of this. Browns ticked down after being on 3. Remember, it was 4.5 some time ago. Browns now 2.5 point, from 2.5 to 1 point favorites against the Panthers. So a little move on the week one line for sure, off the 3. But Panthers, you know, to make the playoffs, plus 400 still, that didn't go anywhere. Their season win total, only the juice moved, still 6.5. And so I guess the question from a betting standpoint, and Scott Seidenberg was kind enough to have me on the Late Show last night here on the network, he was asking me, would it induce me to make a bet? I mean, I wouldn't. Here's the thing about the NFC. The NFC is so weak that we always say this. There's always a team that no one conventional wisdom-wise expects to make the postseason in the NFC. So the Panthers have to be saying to themselves, why not us? What's the bet of all of these? If I said to you, Jeff, you must make one of the aforementioned bets. Season wins, division. By the way, Tampa Bay still a big, huge favorite. With the Saints still at about 3-1 to win the division. Panthers 10-1, as we just mentioned. By the way, Joe Fortenbaugh texted me about something completely random yesterday, so I decided I'm going to look at Joe Fortenbaugh's tweets. And he actually is bullish on Carolina, just to give his answer to the question. He said, Carolina over 6.5 wins plus 100 is intriguing. Okay, maybe not bullish. Intriguing. He'll go that far. Joe Fortenbaugh, our buddy from Daily Wager at ESPN, he says, I'm not a huge Mayfield guy, but he did note that Carolina, the Panthers in 2021, the Sam Darnold administration, were 1-7 in one-score games, were minus 13 turnover differential. That's the second worst in all of football. Remember, that's random. Typically regresses. Unless Sam Darnold's your quarterback. 52 sacks allowed was 28th in the league, 32 teams. And they did address the offensive line by drafting Ekwonu, remembered high, and then signing Corbett and Bozeman. McCaffrey, of course, the big comeback from last year off the injury. So he would lean over on the season win, 6.5. Jeffrey, what do you like? Anything?
So I was going through their schedule after this trade was made to see if a 6 or a 6.5 was worth going over. And after looking through their schedule, I think 6.5 is the right number. So there's really no bet, even with Mayfield. Now, this is an interesting team where you actually, because of all these books now putting in-season win totals, Gil, this feels like a team you can attack depending on what they do early in the season. Because their first four games, Gil.
Pretty easy.
Play Cleveland at home.
Yeah.
They're a small underdog. They play at the Giants. They'll probably be a small underdog in that game. Play New Orleans at home. Probably another, again, winnable game as a small home underdog. And then they play Arizona, which who knows what Arizona looks like 4 weeks into the season. Carolina could very easily be 3-1 after those first four games. And then we would look to do like what we did with Denver last year.
Under.
Which would bet an under at an elevated win total.
Yeah, the Denver thing, it must, just for those who missed what Jeff is referring to, the Denver thing, though, was just some weird mathematical
yes.
mishugas that happened at DraftKings last year where Denver was 7.5 pre-flop. They beat the Giants, who they were favored to beat, and they went to 10.5. And I'm like, well, what is that? That's an under, and that won easy peasy. That was something a little different. I will tell you this, though. Again, this trade is no surprise to anyone. The fact that the Panthers waited it out and got it on more favorable terms, good on them, good for Baker. Now, of course, the implications elsewhere is what's most fascinating because we kind of knew this was going to happen, or we thought that it was likely to happen. So Deshaun Watson in Cleveland with a 25 major allegations against him. For how long will he be suspended? Will it be a half year? Will it be a full year? All indications are that it will be an aggressive suspension. A year and indefinite is what the NFL is reported to want. And so then, do the Cleveland Browns go into their season with Jacoby Brissett as their guy? Do they try to pick up someone? Bookmark that for a second. Seattle Seahawks were the only other team in terms of really needing a quarterback that was rumored to be associated with Baker Mayfield. Then it was reported late that Seattle wasn't interested. So Seattle's going Drew Lock and Geno Smith. That's their season. They're really doing this. Seattle is really content doing that. Okay. But here's the real thing. Go back to what I bookmarked. Cleveland now with Jacoby Brissett, if Deshaun Watson gets, again, regardless of what the suspension is, it's going to be a lot of Brissett, at least as currently constituted. So now does Jimmy Garoppolo, the only other really big-name quarterback out there, whose salary is exorbitant, right? $25 million, I believe, is the number. Don't hold me to that. Could be 28. Could be 24. I apologize for not knowing exactly. But it's massive. And so if he's going to, by the way, it's not guaranteed. Niners, if he stays with the Niners, it's a huge pay cut. But the Niners have the Trey Lance issue, for whom they traded up massive draft capital to get with the third pick in the draft 2 drafts ago. Would the Niners really go 2 seasons in a row without playing Trey Lance? Jimmy G would absolutely give them the best chance for a team that is Super Bowl ready, right? Super Bowl made. Good Lord, they were there 2 years ago and they got close last year. That is a massive decision. Or would the natural landing spot actually now be the Cleveland Browns? Because Cleveland has massive salary cap room to acquire, to fit in a guy like Garoppolo without having to really do a lot of contract manipulation with the Niners. And Kevin Stefanski's offense, not completely unlike that of Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. So from a X's and O's standpoint, actually not the worst transition for Garoppolo either. And so maybe you do a one-year rental of Jimmy Garoppolo, because you do have Deshaun long-term, right? So a one-year rental of Garoppolo maybe is the best for everybody involved. San Francisco, because they get rid of their controversy. I don't think it's best for them on the football field, again, but it does get rid of their quarterback controversy. Cleveland has a much more ready-to-play quarterback with a team that is ready to contend. Jimmy G over Jacoby Brissett, I think we would all agree. And then if that goes relatively well, Jimmy Garoppolo becomes an unrestricted free agent the following year, and no, who knows where he could end up. Bill Barnwell threw out maybe the Raiders if it doesn't go so well. Because that Derek Carr extension, actually the Raiders don't owe him a dime after this coming season. So this little musical chair quarterback carousel thing has implications. Perhaps, we are stretching it a little bit, but perhaps past this year. But Baker Mayfield in Carolina, again, from a betting standpoint, you know, it is what it is, as the kids say. We'll come back. How about a Kevin Durant scenario that we thought was unthinkable a week ago? Coming back with Will Hill on The Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. It won't take you but a few seconds, and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes, and bam, you're placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM, state-of-the-art technology, and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Will Hill is the host of the New York City Cast podcast, available where all podcasts are available. You can follow him on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. That's a V with two E's. And Will joins us now. How you doing, Will?
Gil, what's going on, man? I'm good. Jeff, nice to see you guys.
You know Jeff Parlay. Jeff, Will, Jeff. You guys know each other?
Producer number 8, I think, is what it is.
It's 5 and 8. He doesn't like 8 so much. He likes being called 5. Is that true, Jeff?
I prefer that. 5, yes.
He prefers 5.
I prefer the first term number. Makes you look better, too, Gil.
It does it?
I think so.
What are you trying to say? I don't know what he's trying to say. Will, so you are one. We were just talking about the Baker Mayfield trade, which, again, is wholly unsurprising. We all kind of knew this was happening, but you were one of the people who got ahead. You were on this show several weeks ago, and you were like, you know, we were snickering at you because you're like, I'm making week one bets. I'm making week 18 bets. Next week, I'll have week 6 bets. But one of the week one bets you did make was getting ahead of that of this move.
Yeah, and part of it was just the fact that I don't think Watson's going to play. I still don't think he's going to play week one. There's talk that now it could be, you know, 8 or 10. I still lean towards him being done for the whole season. But regardless, I mean, it would be a shocker if he plays week one. And I think we've seen this line move now to 1. So you got a nice shot at the middle. You could just hold on to the Carolina whenever you got it. 4, 4.5, 3.5, even 3 is pretty good now. So, yeah, I think Baker, look, he averaged slightly above average. But, you know, life is all about perspective, and he's not named Sam Darnold, so I think he's a huge upgrade. Yes. And remember, Carolina was 3-0 last year. Again, that was an easy schedule, but you got to keep McCaffrey on the field. They have a pretty good defense. So I think it's a good move. It makes some sense. I mean, they're not a Super Bowl contender by any stretch, but the NFC is pretty weak. Could they sneak into a wild card spot? I don't think that is, you know, too far-fetched. 6.5 wins, I would lean towards over here. I already bet the Saints over wins, and I don't want to have two overs in the same divisions. I try to stay away from overs in general just because I think, you know, there's more value on the unders, more things go wrong that helps your unders. But I definitely can understand this move here for Carolina.
I don't want to run the whole show over with a Baker Mayfield trade, but the one thing, the comeback player of the year was the biggest mover of all of them, 16-1 to 12-1. My reaction to all that kind of, it's the most nebulous of all the categories, as we've talked about many times. But my reaction to all of that is, What exactly is he coming back from again? 29 and 30 lifetime. Yes, I get it. He had a shoulder injury. I'm told that's called football, right? So it's like, I don't really know. Like, I don't, even if, now if Carolina made the playoffs and he was a big part of that, I'm sure he would be if they did. Okay, sure. He's in the mix. But like, I'm not really moved by that either, even though the market was slightly.
Yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. We don't really know what this award is. Is it bad performance? Is it injury? In baseball, in past years, we've had candidates that were having good years coming off steroid suspensions. Are they candidates because they got suspended for steroids? Like, we don't really know what this yes. award is. It's just so loosely defined.
Very, very vague. Okay. The other sort of, and this is the nice part about July, is you get to sort of delve into the gossip and the soap operas and the dramas, but they all have betting implications. So we'll go to the NBA for a second. And so Friday, this past Friday, was the morning after KD requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Now, again, the word is requested. And I think that word got lost in all of this, because the most that people were willing to go were like, okay, well, you know, Brooklyn, just because he requested a trade to his preferred teams being the Phoenix Suns, the Miami Heat, well, it doesn't mean they have to trade him there. And so we went extensively on the show deep dive as to why, hey, look, Phoenix signed Devin Booker. That would have been the guy you wanted back. And instead, you're going to get DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and some sort of mix. Well, the problem is Brooklyn signed Nick Claxton. So does DeAndre Ayton really move the needle for them? As we're finding out, not yet, not so much. Miami, there was the designated rookie extension issue. You can't have two via trade, so you can't have Ben Simmons and Bam Adebayo on the team at the same time. So that complicates things. Plus, Miami, you know, if you're going to try to, you know, rebuild, if you're Brooklyn, you're not going to want Kyle Lowry. Jimmy Butler's probably not going to be part of the trade, so that complicates Miami. The one thing that people didn't go to, Will, long way of saying, is just because he made a request doesn't mean they have to make the trade at all. If they don't have a trade, Brooklyn, that now we're talking about, if Brooklyn doesn't have a trade that they want on the table. And you are all about this, and you would even add that the Rudy Gobert trade complicated this.
I think the Gobert trade certainly complicated it. I mean, I can't understand what he got traded for, who they were negotiating against, Minnesota, but that is certainly an added element to this. And the Nets don't have any of their picks. The Rockets control their future. Now, some of it's directly to Houston with the picks. Some of it's pick swaps. But if I'm the Nets, I got this guy on a four-year contract. He's one of the 10 or 15 best players of all time. The reason I gave up all my picks is because Durant was on my team. Like I said, I got him on a contract here for 4 years. I mean, I'll listen to offers if I'm the Nets. But, I mean, what's your sort of recourse here if you're Durant? Well, trade me or else what? You'll be unhappy? Okay, you'll be unhappy. You're going to complain? Okay, you can complain. Season starts in October. We'll see you in October. You can complain all you want. Just as long as you put up 30, you know, you can complain before the game, during the game, after the game. We don't really care, because none of these trades really make sense. If you're going to trade him for a bunch of picks, well, the picks don't do me any good, because once Durant's on the other team, those picks become less valuable. Now, down the road, who knows, anything can happen. But, you know, if you trade him for three or four good young players, well, Durant's not going to want to go to that team, because that team's going to be gutted. I just think the Nets, you know, call around the league, have meetings, and say, you know what? I think we're just better off keeping him. He can be upset. Whatever is bothering him, we can discuss it. He'll get over it. But we're not going to just trade this guy for 30, 40 cents on the dollar just to trade him. Because once he's out the door, whatever you get back is your future for the next 5 or 10 years. You have no picks. You have no really other assets, young players. This is it. So I just think they run it back. And boy, if you can get something out of Simmons, you bring back Curry, Kyrie, to me, this is as good a team as any. We're not in an era here of super teams. They're on the short list, handful of contenders here. I think the Nets, those 50-1s were crazy to me, 40-1s, 25-1s more reasonable. I still think that's very bettable. Remember, this team was cruising along here until Durant got hurt and all hell broke loose this season. So I do not think Durant is going to be traded.
Did you make a bet?
Yeah, I took them 45-1, 40-1. A little 50-1. I kept betting him. I bet him to win the East. So I just kept grabbing him. So if Durant gets traded, I'll be not too pleased, but that's really my bet. And I saw there were some 7-1s on him to remain with the Nets. I couldn't find those to get down on, but I certainly would have.
I'll put it this way. I don't think it's outlandish. We know KD is a guy who has strong opinions on any given day about anything. And who's to say that if the Nets come back to him and say, well, yeah, the best deal that we want to make is to City X, and KD's like, I don't want to go there, right? Like, hey, let's work this out, actually. You know, like, I don't think that is outlandish. that outlandish of a scenario. And so now the second part of that is, does Kyrie, is there a scenario where Kyrie sticks around as well? I'm not so sure about that one, though what we're hearing is any Lakers deal certainly isn't imminent, might happen at some point, but certainly there isn't really Lakers, what are they, again, outbidding themselves here at this point for Kyrie. So it's a complete holding pattern that could change at any moment. But I do think it was incumbent upon us just to bring up the suggestion that KD may not go anywhere in the end. He really might not.
Yeah, and I know the Raptors make some sense. The Pelicans make some sense. I think if you're the Nets, if you're going to trade him, I think you have to get another team involved that has somebody else's picks. Because like I said, if you trade him, like they wouldn't trade him to the Knicks, but if you trade him to the Knicks for all their picks, well, those picks aren't going to be valuable because Durant's on the team. You need somebody who controls somebody else's future, like New Orleans controlling all those Laker picks, because you need somebody else's picks. Because once Durant's on the team, those picks become very, much less valuable. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to trade him. It's just so hard to find a deal that makes all three parties happy, because you have to satisfy the Nets, you have to satisfy their trade partner, and ultimately you have to satisfy Durant. He doesn't have the leverage to force a deal, but he has the leverage to kill a deal, because you're not going to want to trade for a guy
that's right
who doesn't want to be there. So
100%
very hard
right
to satisfy all three parties here.
Yeah. The stars run the league in the NBA. And again, as we said on Friday, really the only individual teams where a trade makes any kind of sense would be New Orleans, which wouldn't involve Zion after he signed that extension, did so on the show while we were on the air on Friday. It would be a Brandon Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas kind of package from New Orleans with draft picks obviously involved. Toronto with some version of Pascal Siakam. They're saying Scottie Barnes is off the table now, apparently, so maybe Toronto's not a spot now. OJ
and what's left OG if, with Toronto, if he goes to Toronto, what's left if you're trading
right
OG Anunoby, Barnes, all these guys, then it's him and Van Vliet. It's really hard to figure it out.
And legitimately the team that makes the most sense is the most comical of all of them, Golden State. It really is. Like, you trade some, I get it, Wiggins also has a designated rookie extension, but some version of Wiseman and Kuminga and Moody and who knows, Wiggins or Poole or something. I mean, that's the team that would make the most sense. I doubt that will happen. We will talk to Will Hill here more after the break, see if he added any football picks. Did you add any more football bets beyond Baker?
I did.
Oh,
got to stick around to see.
Oh, I like that. Get his baseball thoughts on the day and another night of just sublime Shohei. Will, we can't go a show with you without mentioning another set of landmarks from the great Shohei Ohtani. So we'll get Will's baseball picks, the football plays he added on the other side. Bill Krakenberger will join us today as well from somewhere in this great nation, Unscripted with the Crack Man. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
The numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, starting on Monday, VSiN will be having its first ever baseball betting pentathlon. Every show, including this one, will be making five baseball bets over a span of 4 days to determine which show at VSiN is the best at betting baseball. On Monday, we'll have to bet a total. On Tuesday, an underdog and a favorite. On Wednesday, we have a bet. We have to bet a team on the run line. And then Thursday, we have to bet a prop. Winner will be announced on Friday morning, July 15th, week from tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, on Follow the Money. Jeff, you looking forward to it? The baseball betting pentathlon. Five bets, 4 days for a crown. Let's go.
I want to know what our prize is. That's what I want to know.
Oh, that's a very good question. I didn't even think about that.
Do we get a crown?
I think the prize wins,
do we get a crown?
I do not believe that is the case. I believe the prize is sheer pride.
Okay.
Is that not enough for you, Jeff? Pride.
Be fun. Regardless, if we're playing for pride or if we're playing for an award, it's all good.
What's our personal method of coming up with a play? What if you want one and I want one? Then what happens?
I would imagine. Well, I'll have to talk to our PD John Goulet. But I would imagine that if we both had picks, that probably wouldn't be a bad thing. The more the merrier, right?
I think it's a show-by-show thing. I don't think we can splinter out shows.
We'll have to see. What about shows with multiple
people? Hey, Jeff, listen, if you don't want to be a part of this, you want to go rogue, that's up to you, my friend.
We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. Got to make a determination.
I think Parlay just told me he wanted to go rogue on baseball picks.
We'll have Kev do our picks. That's how we'll determine it, actually.
We will not have Kev do our picks. That will not happen. Kev is too busy growing a beard and attracting the ladies. for your baseball picks. Looking forward to it. The baseball betting pentathlon beginning on Monday. By the way, we can't announce our picks on the show day by day, right? Because then other shows could pick off our plays kind of thing, right? So don't we have to keep it under wraps?
I have to check. I have to check the email.
So many rules. So many rules to be determined.
There was a rule book for us on this sent out earlier this week. I got to read through it.
By the way, this last minute was just a snapshot of me, Matt, and Kelly on primetime action every night, just making up rules for contests every night back in the day. All right, Will Hill, kind enough to join us. Sorry, Will, didn't mean to stray there. Forgot you were there for a second. My apologies.
Do we have odds on what show is favored? Yeah. What show's the longest?
That's the real question. Do we have odds? That's the brightest thing. That's the brightest thing said about this. We need odds. I want to know how big of a dog we are. I want to know that. I want to know if we're a favorite. I want to know this information. I want to know how disrespected we are, right? It was us against the world, Jeff. That kind of thing.
I'm sure one of your listeners can put together some sort of market, some sort of phantom odds. We can come up with something.
Bruh, they're on it right now. I promise you they're on it right now. Looking forward to that. All right, you said you added football bets. This is the brilliance of every Will Hill segment on the show, is that there is never a shortage of football bets. What did you add this week?
You guys were talking about this market the other day, lowest scoring team, and it's not the longest number. You guys mentioned you'd want to take a real shot here, but Atlanta 6-1 to me is interesting. When you look at their division, Carolina, New Orleans, Tampa, three probably of the top 10 defenses in the league. Their crossover is the AFC North, so they get the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bengals. The Ravens, that's not an easy schedule in terms of the defenses. They even play the Chargers, who will be better defensively now with Khalil Mack. They just don't have the weapons they used to have. Maybe we see Ritter midway through the season. To me, Atlanta's going to be a terrible football team. Again, 6-1 is not a great number, but I think they are certainly in the mix here to be the lowest scoring team. They're going to be a horrible team to watch. To me, 6-1 is a pretty intriguing number.
I believe that was the team I mentioned, where just like, I get it, it's only 6-1, but man, could they be bad. And I actually kind of like Marcus Mariota too, so I sort of feel bad for him in that situation. If only Calvin Ridley hadn't made a wager in Florida in that window, might have been different. Might have been, maybe not. And that was the one you added? Anything else or no? Just that one?
I think that was the only one I've added.
All right. Despite your promise for week 6 wagers, you did not make good on that for this show, is what you're saying?
Hall of Fame game is right around the corner. You're getting 1.5 here with the Jaguars. Remember, teams, when they're down a touchdown, they usually go for 2. So that 1.5 is extra valuable here. So Jags plus 1.5, I'm eyeing it. I'm keying in on it. I haven't done anything yet, but Jags plus 1.5. It'll be here before we know it. We're a month away.
Pronounce that again. Jaguars. Could you pronounce that again?
Jaguars.
Okay, we're getting there. He's a Jaguar guy. It's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I've never gotten that pronounced.
Jaguar. A lot of people love the Jaguar. Yeah. Okay. All right, Will.
What is it? Jaguar?
That's correct. It's Jaguar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But Will's not alone though.
No. You like represent half the nation on it. Okay. Shohei
Ohtani. Right. I didn't think of that.
Shohei Ohtani last night, by the way. It's like every time you're on. Can we show the ESPN stats at Info One first? Jeff, we'll just rattle through some of these. I mean, honestly, there's no shortage of these kinds of tweets because it seems like every time he is in action, there is some new standard. But, of course, you know, this is per ESPN stats and information. Shohei, the first player since the RBI became official in 1920 to do all of the following in a single game. 10 strikeouts as a pitcher, 2 RBI as a batter, a stolen base. That just a different way of sort of parsing out what he did last night. And what he did last night was his 4th consecutive game of not allowing an earned run. That's 28 2/3 innings pitched in a row now of not allowing an earned run. Remember, the all-time record is Oral Hershiser, which I believe is 59 innings, if I'm not mistaken. So Shohei just about halfway to the all-time record. Doing so. By the way, it was his 4th straight start without allowing an earned run, but also his 3rd with at least 10 strikeouts and 0 earned runs. Sixth pitcher to accomplish that feat since earned runs became official, and the first since Jacob deGrom did it in 2018-2019. It is just, it's an endless riff. By the way, here's one more before we get your thoughts on this, because you know where I'm going, of course. This is Aldin Gonzalez. Shohei Ohtani hasn't allowed a run since June 9th. That was 27 days ago. Opposing hitters OPS against him is 335. His OPS at the plate, 1.008. In other words, the difference between Shohei Ohtani's opposing OPS and what his OPS are is 673. There are 25 qualified hitters in baseball that have a lower OPS than that difference, which is just another insane stat. He's the MVP, right? Like, can we stop talking about this?
Well, something Jason talks about a lot. Do we know who votes on this award? Do we know the voters, the number of voters? Because I do feel like people have made up their mind one way or another. Like, if Judge hits 55 homers, Yankees win 110 games, there's a certain faction of people that are saying, you know what, Judge is the MVP. It doesn't matter what Ohtani does. His team's not in the mix. Other people say, you know what, doesn't matter what Judge does. Look at what Ohtani's doing, yeah, both sides of the ball. Ohtani's the MVP. So
you're probably right.
I think, yeah, I think, you know, I don't know that many people out there are saying or going back and forth as close as this market is. I think people just sort of have made up their mind with this. And again, I would go back to who's voting, how many voters, can we kind of stalk their Twitter page to get a sense of what they think and try to handicap the handicappers here.
Well, Jason's point about handicapping the handicappers, because you're right, everything you've said I kind of agree with, but the point is that there's no indication that this is a different group of voters, right? And so if that's the case, like what Vlad Guerrero did last year didn't come close, why should this be any different kind of thing? So, you know, that's his point on all of this.
I would just say the voter fatigue and Guerrero's team. I mean, they were in the mix, but they ended up finishing in fourth place.
Did you get fatigued after 1 year? Does that fatigue set in that quickly?
It's just not new anymore. Ooh. So maybe.
But isn't it? Every time you come on here, it's new.
I know. And Judge's team is going to win 110 games. That's the case. So people have made that case. There's definitely a divide here. And like I said, I don't know how many people are out there going back and forth. I think people have kind of made up their minds about this.
Yeah, I don't think there's a divide, quite frankly. I really don't. I think we exaggerate that divide is the point I'm trying to make. Okay, baseball today. You always have baseball picks. What you got today?
Rockies team total over. Rockies parlay with the over. I am fading Dallas Keuchel. I think anytime your changeup and your fastball are the same speed, I think it's time to retire. And Keuchel's had a good career. But he's had a rough season, whether it's the White Sox, the Diamondbacks. He got hammered in Coors the other night, so he gets the same lineup 4 days later, 5 days later. This is at home, so maybe it goes a little bit better for him. This game was 11-7 the other night, 11-8, and he just got hammered. He's gotten hit hard every time out. So Rockies team total over, basically just fading Keuchel. And then I did go under 3.5 in the first five, Musgrove and Logan Webb, Padres and the Giants.
Padres and the Giants. By the way, the thing with Dallas Keuchel, it's sort of like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've bet on Dallas Keuchel in the past, but when you look at his FanGraphs page, the reason that Dallas Keuchel was so effective so many years ago, particularly when he was with the Astros, is that he always had this elite, unbelievable ground ball rate, right? He induced certain seasons 66.8% ground ball rate, 60.1%. So any other deficiencies were sort of made up with that kind of inducing of ground balls. It's not like he's a bad ground ball pitcher, but it's not elite like that anymore, right? You're down to 50%. And when you have all the other things going on, then that doesn't matter quite as much. And so what was your line is when your off speed is about the same velocity as your fastball, it might be time to, hang it up. Will, always fascinating. We thank you for the multiple sports and all your thoughts on all. Have a good betting weekend, my friend.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. See ya.
At Not The Will Hill again, the name of the podcast, the New York City Cast. Will may ask you to retweet it, Jeff, at some point. You just never know. We'll come back. More NFL bets on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code VSiN1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM's state-of-the-art app offers a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. No matter what your favorite sport is, you'll find out when nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code VSiN1000. to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offers not available in Nevada or New York. It's Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay here as well. Jeffrey, just to reiterate the tennis play, because it's about to take place, about 5 minutes away, 10 minutes away, thereabouts. The second of the two ladies semis at Wimbledon. I have Simona Halep in straight sets over Elena Rybakina. Got it at -118. I believe Halep is the player to beat in this tournament. Added, not sexy prices, as I mentioned yesterday, added some Simona Halep futures, +350, +175. Nothing pre-flop, nothing massive numbers, but just to see if I can get home with her here. But I do have her in straight sets here in this match that's about to take place against the very good Elena Rybakina. But I think Halep is the player to beat here. Congratulations to all who have Ons Jabeur to win the Wimbledon Ladies Slam. Ons Jabeur advances to the final. She awaits the winner of this Halep-Rybakina match. And by the way, let me just say this. Ons Jabeur, in her first Slam final ever, was her first Slam semi, by the way, but she'll be in her first Slam final ever, and is the first African ladies player to ever advance to a Grand Slam final. So congratulations to Ons. Congratulations to those, including our buddy Drew Dinsick, who has a 33-1 on Ons.
Great ticket.
We've had some 33-1s on the ladies' side. Those are fun. Okay, we do get tweets at Beating the Book. Let me just read a couple of these. Scott, New York Mets 16. Gil, you wonder how you get Jaguar from Jaguar. How about Worcester from Worcester? Talking about Worcester, Mass. I talk about that all the time. I went to school in Boston. I'm like, how do you guys get Worcester out of this? It's like 35 letters in this city. All right, and then Dan Wood has chimed in on our MLB betting pentathlon with odds. Are you curious what he put out as odds on this?
Let's see what he has.
He goes, follow the money as the short shot at +120, a numbers game +155, betting across America +200, my guys +250, odds on 3-1, rush hour 4-1, Lombardi line 5-1, all other shows field +333.
I just real quick on that. Total disrespect for our night shows, which do not appear at all here in the list. Total disrespect to Tim Murray and Sean and Scott late at night. Those guys need to be listed.
Just telling you what Dan.
No offense to us, Gil, but I would take the field.
No offense to us.
We're getting a lot of good quality people at the field.
This is a show where you know that we used to do baseball picks daily, like when this first show started. Again, 5 years ago. I was a baseball better. Everything else was second. 10 years ago, same thing. We don't do it so much here, baseball, on this show. But there are Dan Wood's odds. I'm sure other people will have other odds. I'm looking for more disrespect, Jeff. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for more disrespect so we can do an us against the world thing on this. All right. We do have more football and things to bet in the National Football League and beyond. Jeff has culled these together. Now, earlier... This was earlier this week, I believe, because we started with these a week or 2 weeks ago. But we talked about over-unders on quarterbacks' total interceptions. And you remember Carson Wentz was 10.5, and we were sort of like, Carson Wentz is only going to throw 10.5 picks? Like, that's not an over? This is most interceptions thrown. So this is just a different variation of that. So instead of over-unders, quarterback per quarterback, this is just a market of who's going to throw the most picks. This is at DraftKings. This just came out.
Well, or at least I noticed it last night for the first time. It could easily been out for a while.
It could have very easily, because they have tons of them.
There are a lot of things up there. A lot of things up there. And we can go ahead and show everyone here that Zach Wilson is your betting favorite at 8-1. Trevor Lawrence, who was in the lead, not the category you want to be leading last year. Him and Matt Stafford led the league in interceptions last year, 17 apiece. Lawrence is at 10-1. Fields at 10-1. Davis Mills at 10-1. A lot of disrespect for the second-year guys, Gil. All the second-year guys who we know are going to start are the short shots in this market. Stafford, Jameis at 13-1.
Jameis, Lifetime Achievement Award odds, 13-1.
Mac Jones, the only second-year starter who isn't in the top four here, 16-1. I was very surprised he was that short. I don't. I don't see him throwing a lot of picks, so don't bet that.
Can I call my shot right now?
Please, go ahead.
Tannehill, 18-1.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That was the one that stood out to me. The only concern that I have, so hear me out here, Gil. Because Tennessee, obviously, no A.J. Brown anymore. Seemed like last year was the shot. If they were going to make a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, they had to do it last year when he had the one seed. Tannehill gets off to a rocky start this year. Indianapolis gets out to a hot start. Colts are, let's say, they're 3-4 games up 2 months into the season. Do we see Malik Willis in Tennessee? Do we even get a full season with Ryan Tannehill?
Well, here's my thing. Are they going to be that bad where you make that change?
Probably not.
I think
not.
They're going to be. I'm a big Colts guy. You are not. I am not as bull. I was super bullish on Tennessee last year, even had bets behind them. I am not this year. But I do believe, again, I sort of said this the other day. We're talking about Derrick Henry numbers also. Listen, we get it. If Tennessee's ahead, it's the Derrick Henry show. But if Tennessee falls behind, you got to change it up. And they don't have receivers, man. It's a coming off an injury, Robert Woods and the poo-poo platter, as we said. So does Ryan Tannehill, already a guy prone to the pick, does he, by the way, Ryan Tannehill had 14 picks last year, 17 was tops, as Jeff mentioned, Trevor Lawrence and Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen 15, Taylor Heineke 15, Justin Herbert 15. Justin Herbert would be the other guy. I mentioned this the other day. So for me, it's Ryan Tannehill because he's just going to have to force balls in at some point. But I sort of, as I'm speaking, I'm sort of going back to what I said earlier this week. I believe Justin Herbert at 20-1 might actually be the better play. Because Ryan Tannehill, if there are enough Derrick Henry games, then maybe that's not as good. But Justin Herbert, by sheer volume of passes, this is all about opportunities. And Justin Herbert, again, threw, besides Tom Brady, who was a dinker and dunker primarily, by comparison, Justin Herbert had the most passing attempts in the National Football League last year with 672. 672 through 15 picks. 20-1 on him, not bad. You know who's not listed here, who I'd want to know who the odds are? Patrick Mahomes.
So I'll say this, Gil. They're all a huge collection of people at 20-1. Huge collection.
He's
and
one
aren't
of
even listed.
He's one of them.
He's at 30-1, Mahomes. He's at 30.
Because how many times do we see him scrambling, right? Him just doing the whirling dervish thing and then just heaving the ball up in the air, and then Tyreek would come out of nowhere and catch the ball, and you're like, oh my God, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're amazing. This just in, Tyreek Hill not on the Kansas City Chiefs. And how much of Mahomes' instincts of just, you know, scrambling and just heaving the ball into oblivion and hoping. He's 20-1?
30.
30-1.
30.
I'm going to go Herbert 20-1, followed by Mahomes 30-1, followed by Tannehill 18-1 is my favorite three.
There are other guys at 20. Jared Goff's at 20. Darnold's at 20. That can't bet that. He's not going to start. Mayfield's at 20 also. Derek Carr's at 20-1. Daniel Jones at 20-1. Our guy Carson Wentz at 25-1. Problem is, again, the scenario
that's your guy.
We discussed earlier in the week could be so ineffective that we see Heineke replace him in, or Howell even, actually, I should say. We see Howell replace him in Washington. When going through this last night, I don't want any of the short shots. Don't want Wilson, don't want Lawrence, don't want Mills, don't want Fields. I would be looking to Tannehill. That was the name that stood out to me the most. I also would be intrigued with Tua at 18-1 because you're asking a guy to take more deep shots. Now that Tyreek Hill is there, you could end up with him trying to force the ball to Hill. You could end up with a lot of early season interceptions, and you may have a lead that you could sit on throughout the year with Tua.
I don't hate the logic, but I'm gonna go with one of the bigger names as my favorite. Again, Tannehill's my third, but I think Mahomes and Herbert are interesting choices because people won't gravitate towards them. They won't think of them first. But sheer volume, by the way, who threw the third most passes last year behind Brady and Justin Herbert? Patrick Mahomes did, 658. So again, that instinct, just sort of the mind's eye of how many times he just throws the ball up. He doesn't have a security blanket anymore.
I know we're up against it here. Josh Allen at 50-1, who was third in interceptions last year, also somewhat interesting.
I like it. All these things bet on. Now, would I actually bet on this? Maybe. Maybe. Long enough shot? I might actually bet on this if we had this available. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, next. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.